and welcome to the Motherhood Challenge panel. First of all, I would like to share our land acknowledgement. The Toronto Comic Arts Festival would like to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nation, the Haudenosaunee, and the Huron-Wendat, and that Indigenous peoples have lived on and cared for this land for more than 15,000 years. This territory is covered by the Dish With One Spoon Wampum Belt Treaty. Today, Toronto is still the home to many Indigenous people from across Turtle Island. We acknowledge that settlers on the land directly benefit from the process of colonization. In recognition of our gathering on these lands for TCAF 2019, the festival has made a donation to the Gord Downie and Cheney Wenjack Fund. We look forward to increasing our support and programs for Indigenous creators in the years to come. And I'd also like to thank TCAF's sponsors, Seneca College's Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design, The Beguiling, the Little Island Comics, and Toronto Public Library, and our media sponsor, Now Magazine. And we recognize the support of the Canadian Council of the Arts, the Ontario Council, and the Toronto Arts Council. So, my name is Wendy Brown. I am the publisher of Women Write About Comics, a comics journalism site. And I am your moderator for today. We are going to be talking about motherhood, childbirth, parenting, and how that's kind of how it's perceived in comics. My qualifications as a mom, I got one of mine sitting out there with her friends. And I'd like to introduce our panelists. If each of you would like to introduce yourselves, your works, you can see them on there, and your qualifications as a mother.
Sure. I'm Teresa Wong. I wrote a book called Dear Scarlet, the story of my postpartum depression. And I have three children. They're ages 9, 8, and 5. Sorry, my son just turned 5 2 weeks ago. And I actually don't feel qualified as a mother most days. I call myself an amateur mother. That's we all are.
I'm Megan Carney. I'm a writer and cartoonist and the manager of Toronto's Comic Book Embassy, which is a co-work space for creatives. I'm the mother of a very sassy toddler. He was here earlier being a vector of disease, and he's gone home now. So, breathe easy.
But the germs remain.
Oh, yeah. Come touch my hands, everyone.
Oh, boy. My name is Lucy Nicely. I'm a comic author and artist. I just came out with a book last February called Kid Gloves about my qualifications as a mother. I have a almost 3-year-old who is also sassy. They could have a sass off.
Oh my. All
right, next year, next TCAF.
Yeah. Baby fights.
My name is Sylvia Nickerson. I have two children. They're 9 and 5 now. And I guess I've written two books, but the second book, Creation's, coming out in the fall, and it's a lot about motherhood and cities and birth and all of the questioning that comes after that, at least for me. So
to start us off, I'd like to ask you all, just kind of speaking about comics in general. What do you think the treatment of motherhood in comics in general reveals about society's beliefs, values, perceptions of maternity, femininity, etc., and parenthood? I'll start with a hard one first.
Wait, who was?
Sure. Wait. Let me hit that. So I joke a lot at work about anime mom syndrome, where you become the protagonist's mother and suddenly you're wearing a cardigan and you have a ponytail. And you're very supportive, and maybe you're dead. And feeling like that's the only place that we see moms is sort of a background supporter to your, you know, energetic main protagonist. And I'm very interested in seeing some more active moms who continue to have lives and identities. I think we're starting to see more of that.
Yeah, I agree. I started reading comics or graphics a few years ago, and it was mostly non-parents writing, and I think that creators have kind of come of age and are starting to have babies, and they're shifting their content towards that. And so, I mean, a great example is Lucy's book. I mean, I followed Lucy's work for many years, and to see her writing about motherhood is really interesting, or another artist, Sarah Glidden. I'm expecting her to write a book about motherhood.
Yeah, her comics are so good about
motherhood.
Yeah, I do think that the perception is shifting, and I think that there was a lot of stigma about writing comics about motherhood for a long time because it was seen as niche. It was seen as, like, you know, women's issues, which is ridiculous because we've all reproduced or been reproduced. So, so I think there was this kind of big stigma about it, but it's wonderful to see this change, this shift happening where it's like, why is this not being talked about when there's comics about absolutely everything under the sun? And it's so wonderful to see. I think it also has to do with the economics of indie comics, that women are able to do this. That I think back in the day, you sort of stopped making comics because you were expected to take care of your kids now. And now I think partnerships are much more equal, on much more equal footing in terms of parenting. And I think that comics is a more structured industry, that you're able to make enough to support your family and have a family, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when I was writing my book, I was just thinking about whether your narrative as a woman or as a female, you know, can it go on beyond motherhood? You know, do you still get to be the hero of anything once you kind of come into a caregiving role? So for me, it was also beyond motherhood, it's just about caregiving and all the ways in which people do that and become invisible inside of that. But I think it is possible. So yeah, I think that was the experiment for me in writing the book. And I did look around a lot at the comics genre and saw that many other people were trying to take that on. And I was really inspired by that. There, among the other books mentioned, I liked Ross Chast's book about taking care of her parents.
Can't we talk about something more pleasant?
That's right, as they aged, which I thought was a really moving book. And I read Mama Tried by
Edie Flake.
Yes, right, sorry. Which I enjoyed a lot. So, you know, injecting humor into it. And so I felt there was room to take on that and to make ourselves have space to be... Have the full range of humanity, even though we're in a supportive role. Yeah, as mothers.
Okay, so in what ways does your work specifically help highlight the unique experiences of motherhood, of parenting, either in your books or your actual work?
Well, just continuing from what you were saying, like I wanted to be a writer for a long time and was trying to write another book before I had kids, and I thought for sure that the minute I had kids that everything would stop and I would never be able to do anything cool or creative again. And so the fact that my very first book that has come out is about my daughter's birth and my struggle with postpartum depression after having her is really ironic to me, that somehow becoming a mother has actually turned me into a writer or author. And so I think that's the neat part of becoming a mother to me, is that it can open up your life in a whole different direction that you never expected. And, you know, at the same time, I've been starting an Instagram to support my book, but also writing about my kids now that they're older, and it's been a real interesting and exciting experience.
I was actually very anxious about writing about motherhood and about being public about the fact that I was going to be a mother. Very, very few people in my peer group had families or children at the time when I was pregnant, and those that did had been extremely private about it. To the point of saying, like, I can't talk about this online, it'll be a career sinker. And so I was very, very anxious about admitting that I was going to have a baby. And so I kept it, like, off my social media and out of my work almost entirely. But then when Bedside Press approached me about doing Hit Reblog, which is about viral comics, I was literally drawing that book with an 8-month-old strapped to me. And because a lot of that book was sort of narrated in first person, I had to draw him in there as well. So there's a book out there about memes that just depicts me as running around with a baby strapped to me through the whole book. And that's funny because I feel like that actually gave it a lot of appeal that I wasn't expecting and hopefully shielded me from some of the darkest parts of the internet. No, leave me alone. I'm a parent.
It's funny because both of you have talked about how just sort of being present as a mother was really your, you know, your foray, your work as, you know, to further, what was the question, like further motherhood?
Yes, your, how does it, or highlight the unique experiences.
Yes, to highlight the unique experiences. And I think that that is a big part of it, to just be present as a mom, just like making work. And that's so important for other people to see, that they could see different choices in life and different families and that you continue on, that you continue to exist and be an artist and have a story. And it's funny to me because I think that the most important part of parenting is also just being present. So it's like the most important part of being an artist is being present, is making the work, doing it, and showing up. And that's also the same for parenting.
Yeah, I think I found having children is kind of a, it was an ego-challenging experience, you know. So I actually found in some ways, you know, the part of it, of the experience that kind of deconstructs your ego a little bit, made it maybe easier to be a writer after, because I just thought, well, I'm not that important, you know. What does it matter what other people really think, or, you know, or what I have to say, I mean, honestly. So it's strange now to kind of like whatever I was working on to show it, because it seems like, oh, you're so strong to like have something to say. But it actually came from a place of kind of feeling the opposite of that. So yeah.
Okay, so how does being a parent shape your work habits? Do you work with the kids around, or
I'm not a full-time artist or writer, so I do digital copywriting part-time for an agency in my city, and so basically I write and draw my own stuff from 8:30 at night to 11, and that's it, like, at my kitchen table, because that's all the time I have to give to it right now.
I'm finally back to full-time after, I guess, about a year and a half of working during nap time and at night, and it feels so good. So that was quite difficult to sort of be on a schedule to publish, I think, 3 books that year, while not actually being able to go to my studio. So I did a lot of work with a small child strapped to me, or, you know, in his 2-hour nap and in the evening. And that was very challenging. It made me really question if it was going to continue to be possible. But now daycare happens. And so I'm back to full time, and I'm able to go to my studio and dedicate myself to my work.
Nice. So I took 12 weeks, because I could. I took 12 weeks of maternity leave. It was great. My partner got, I think he got 6 weeks, but he took like 10, because I was really sick when I had my kid. So we had this nice like period of newborn times. But then it was time to go back to work, and I was like, well, I work from home. How do I work with this baby here? This baby's in the way. So we were like, all right, well, let's try this. We'll try getting a nanny, because it's the same price as putting him in daycare. So we'll see about a nanny. And it really worked out, because I ended up hiring this woman who is an artist. And so I was like, I'm supporting the arts. You're supporting the arts. It's an art-supporting commune. This is so great. And it was really nice, because I was working from home and I was nursing. So when he got hungry, she'd just bring him in and be like, eh. I'm like, oh, okay, great. And that was also really nice for me, because I had had a really traumatic birth, and so I needed to build trust with this person, and I got to, because I was in the house with them, and I could just be like, what's going on? Everybody's still alive? Good? Okay, I'm going back to my studio now. And had I worked out of my house, I think it would have been really tough on me to sort of like call and be like, is everybody still alive every 15 minutes? The other nice thing, the benefit of hiring this nanny was that it kept me honest, particularly because she was an artist. I was like, I can't just wander around my house like looking in the refrigerator every 15 minutes now. I have to sit at my desk and like be a good example to this young artist, and like, you know, I'm paying her for the privilege of working, and it really upped my productivity. I was like, okay, I gotta like sit at the desk and get this done because I am like sacrificing time with my baby, and I'm paying somebody an hourly wage. And like, you know, when I would sit there and stare into the middle distance for an hour at my desk, I'd be like, well, there goes $18. Like, that was not worth it. And so that was really nice. So we started her part-time, and then he just started preschool last summer, and so he does 3 days of preschool and 1 day with the nanny and then 1 day with me. So I'm not back to full-time, but he's about to start 5 day preschool, and I'm going to go back to full-time, and also my nanny's not going to be in the house, so I'm going to wander around my house checking the refrigerator every 15 minutes again, and I expect my productivity to tank, and I need my nanny to come just be in the house with me so that I like keep working.
So it's a nanny for you.
Yes. I mean, all nannies are really for the parents, let's be honest.
I hop back in. I had a thought when you were talking about sort of the hours and how they need more now, that I used to be a really bad workaholic. I'm like, oh, 12-hour day, 14-hour day.
Sure.
That's great. That's healthy. Sure. Whereas now I can only work an 8-hour day, and it's way better and way healthier.
And you just miss deadlines. You just miss them. It's fine, you know? Sometimes it happens. I know, I'm the same way, where I was like, I'll just pull an all-nighter, it's fine. And now I'm like, no sleep is, no amount of money is worth my sleep.
Yeah, I don't know, the first year after my son, like, my son who's now 9, so this is going a ways back, was born, I was still doing a lot of freelance illustrations, so I wasn't really doing comics then, and yeah, I pulled all-nighters, and I did all kinds of crazy things. Because I really wanted to prove everyone wrong who said my life would change once I had kids. And I was like, just watch me. You know, I was a really angry person, which is partly why I wrote this novel, to get rid of all of those feelings. So, yeah, that wasn't healthy. But, yes, I also think that when you have a scarcity of something, you like, time for your art, you realize how valuable it is. So you cram everything that you can into the time that you have. So yeah, I felt the same thing. I became super productive, super focused, was willing to not shower or do whatever was necessary. Just like, you just stop caring about certain things and you're like, this is really what matters. It's gonna get done in the time available. So yeah, and now my kids are in school. So I'm a little sad about the lost time with them now, because I'm like, oh, you know, back to that crazy times, but for art making, it's definitely a lot more sane. Yeah.
So having published all this work, what kind of feedback are you getting from people who might, you know, really relate to your experiences and things like that? What kind, are there any experiences that stand out, any responses that really stand out to you?
I've been getting a lot of good feedback just recently, because my book was released in the States earlier this week.
Yay.
And so,
yay.
It's like, yeah, and so excerpts of Ren in BuzzFeed, and then the interview that really got me cheered up, I just read yesterday walking off the plane. It was from Bustle, an online magazine for women, and the reviewer said that she was reading my book and she had an 8-month-old, and she got to a certain page and realized that she herself was probably going through postpartum depression, and so she put it down and she went to counseling and got a diagnosis and is doing a lot better now. And so it wasn't my expectation. I wrote the book basically for myself and for my daughter. But the fact that women are relating to it and actually seeking help because of it has been really exciting.
My work is less motherhood focused at this point. I'm more of a cartoonist who is a mother than a cartoonist analyzing motherhood. But boy, my mom was happy to see her grandson in my last book. And whereas I'm kind of like, oh yeah, it's that meme book, she's like, here it is, the record of 16 months old.
Oh, that's not what that is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I wrote this book expecting when I went to try and get pregnant that I would make a comic about it, thinking like, oh, that'd be funny to like write a comic about it. And, you know, it's nice to have that visibility of parent, the transition to parenthood. And what ended up happening is I, like very many people, particularly in the United States due to our healthcare situation, had a really rough pregnancy and then almost died in childbirth. So what ended up happening was that this book that I had intended to just be like, the story of a pregnancy, became like this angry, traumatic story about what's wrong with reproductive health in the United States. And I went into the history, I went into the weird traditions, I got really deep into the research about why these things were the way they are, and I barely scratched the surface of any of these things, and I still got really intense about it. So this book, while it's my story, is also just the story of reproductive health and the history and weird superstitions and trying to dismantle the awful misinformation that's out there about this stuff that that people are told and expected to feel shame about. And because I was going through this, and all of the books that I had were either by like a male doctor who had like never been pregnant themselves, and they were very like clinical, or they were sort of this like, you know, this is a beautiful time, it's the Earth Mother Goddess, you're so fertile and stuff. And I was like, this is not what I am experiencing at all. I wanted to write a book that was for sort of me in that past, that was going through it and going like, I've been told my entire life that this is like, you know, this magical time and it's beautiful and wonderful and you feel like very, you know, fertile and great and stuff. And I felt terrible for like 9 months and then I almost died. So it was like, where is this story? Where is this story happening? I had miscarriages, I had to have uterine surgery, all of these things. And when I would talk about them, people would be like, oh yeah, me too. Definitely me too. And I was like, well, if this is so common, why is this not being written about? So the best responses I've gotten to my work are people saying, like, thank you for writing an honest story like this. Thank you for talking about the history and the sort of, you know, the misinformation. But I tend to go from place to place making moms cry because they're either remembering their own traumatic birth or they're like so angry at my doctor that they're crying. And I'm like, yes, please be angry with him, with me, because I hate him. So that's always really validating for me to be angry together.
I wanted to chime in and say, like, I expected to read your book as just an accounting of what happened during your pregnancy and stuff. And I didn't expect it to be. It's like a work of activism, like,
oh, thank
really.
You.
And, you know, kind of a call to arms saying, we need to do better, and so.
Yeah, it's very nice to be in Toronto this weekend, too, in particular, out of my country. But the U.S. has the highest maternal mortality rate of any developed nation, and it's 6 times worse for women of color, so it's unacceptable. Totally unacceptable, and that was a figure that I didn't know, even though I considered myself very informed and I did my research and I thought I knew what I was doing, and then I got into it and I kept finding these things out, and every new piece of information was like a blow.
Yeah, the whole book that is really mostly about motherhood's coming out in the fall, but I didn't release the first 3 chapters, which I think are in some ways the most difficult chapters, because by the end of the book it kind of gets back to a sense of you know, hope and love, and I think the reason why, you know, hopefully if we choose it, you know, we create children in the first place, it comes, I think, from a hopeful place. But when you're in the opposite of that, you know, I mean, when I was writing it out, this protagonist, which is, you know, based on my own experience, and I saw it, you know, from a bit of a distance, when you're looking at it, I'm like, wow, this person's, like, selfish, resentful, and angry, you know, about what's happening. And I also found that in that experience, I saw everything that was negative about the world. So when I put that in the first 3 chapters, I was like, what are people really going to think about that? And also, you know, they're going to see that, like, if they think that's me, it's some selfish, resentful, angry human being. So yes, I was surprised when people were pretty accepting and understanding of it. I think people understand it's a difficult thing to do, and I think representation of that experience is important for people who don't do it to understand. Reception's been okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's one or two or three things about parenting that you wish more people were aware of?
Just say it. You're going to be way more comfortable just having your tits out in public than you ever imagined.
I had a roaming gang of breastfeeding moms.
I'm jealous. It's awesome.
How do you follow that, right?
We just potty trained my son.
Yeah, more comfortable with poop than you've ever been.
Right, yeah. Like, you become so comfortable talking about this stuff, too. Oh, man. It was actually cool. We used the oh crap method, which I liked. It's like this 3-day method, but you just let your kid run around naked for 3 days, just peeing and pooping on your entire life. But it works. In the end, he was potty trained. And I'm so shocked by how much time I spend in the bathroom now, but not using the bathroom. I'm just like hanging out. The whole of parenthood, like you're either in there changing the diaper or you're like coaching them on the toilet. So yeah, I'm always just really shocked that bathrooms, bathrooms should really just have like more magazines.
Like a nice fainting couch.
Yeah, like a comfortable chair for you to sit in next to the toilet. But yeah, like our bathroom now has like all this seating in it for us.
Well,
to, like,
you always have company in the bathroom when you have children.
I know.
And cats.
That's true. Which it's a mixed blessing. Yeah. But I've been really surprised also by sort of what you were saying, that it becomes this inspiring thing, because I definitely thought my work was going to be derailed. I was like, okay, I'm not gonna make a book for a while after I have this kid. And then he just inspired, like, he was so funny and cute and great, and I started making comics about it, and I was like, well, no one's gonna relate to this. And like, yeah, of course people did. Like, everyone's known a baby or been a baby, and so people were like, oh, that's funny and cute, even people who weren't parents, which was so nice and so lovely to get to share him with the world. And it was just like this huge new thing that opened up in my creative process, that I was like, okay, I have like a muse now. And now that he's almost three, I'm sort of trying to step back a little bit more and be like, okay, you can tell your own story, I guess. I'll stop like exposing you to the entire world all the time. Now that he's not like a loaf of bread, it makes more sense. But now that I've opened up that like creative hole, I have to fill it with something. So I've like turned to my cat and I'm like, I'm paying all of this attention to you now. You have to like carry it. I can't make baby comics all the time. I gotta make cat comics now. So my poor cat like bears the brunt of this dearth now.
I think it's actually, I don't know about you, Sylvia, but my kids, now that the older two are 9 and 8, are into making their own art and their own comics, and that is, I never expected to feel so proud and delighted to see like little kids coming up to me with their own stories, and so that's been a real real exciting thing to me.
Yeah, I'd say that's delightful, and in a lot of ways you can kind of be on the same, it's another way you can be on the same level as your kids. And I do make art with them a lot, and I've allowed them to come into my art in certain occasions, and we have put little like installations in different storefronts, and that was not always my choice, but it's like
that's a collaboration. That
was my summer thing, and they were around, and they were like, oh cool, we're getting into this. So but that's another way in which you can kind of you show the sort of the democratic aspect there of the family, where it's kind of all just a shared experience, and they definitely bring a lot too, they bring the fun. So yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, I find myself kind of jealous of their work actually. Yeah. Everything they draw is so loose and natural and like exciting and colorful and you know, I want to be more like that.
I think a thing we don't talk about very much is the way you become vulnerable when you become a parent. And it startled me very much to realize how tender I'd become. And at first I kind of wrote that off as like, okay, you got some crazy hormones right now, honey. Like, this Kleenex commercial is making me cry a lot. Yeah. But it does remain in a lot of ways that I've become a lot more critical of fiction, where I'm looking at something like, oh, like, you wrote this in an emotionally manipulative way. Like, you used these, you know, child characters or parent characters, not as characters, but just to devastate me. And because
or to give, like, somebody a cause for vengeance.
Yes. Oh, I hate it. And it makes me furious now. And, like, I never loved it, but it makes me furious now because it's like an arrow to my heart. Because I immediately go, like, oh, that child is how old? Well, my child is that old, and they have this interior life, and they're so pure. And, like, you just read so much into everything that, like...
It really changes the way you take in media.
The news cycle is just a painful thing every day.
Yeah.
I would also say, it's a bit weird, but I think when you have an experience of birth, at least for me, it made me think a lot about death, which was also, like, a bit of a surprise. Like, the motherhood cards don't really... put that in there, and I mean, I guess when you think about it, like, it's, you know, the other side, those two things kind of come together. It's like the big things in life, you know. So, but I was so surprised at how tied it was to that, and in terms of, like, losing an old identity, reforming yourself on a new identity, so many things reform around this new life that is now part of your life. So yeah, that was really shocking, and then kind of having a way to talk about that or express that or kind of cope with that while you're kind of inside this culture where, you know, this has to be a happy moment and everything that you feel like you need to show to everyone else is that, is hard, you know? Even though we are having more conversations around postpartum depression and there is recognition of, like, this blues, the dark, the stuff, but... I still find that was hard. Yeah, to find that. So I think hopefully in these kinds of more complex, you know, grown-up adult narratives around that, even if it's women reading other women, that we can find, a sense of release when we read other women writing that, and we understand that that's a normal part of the experience.
It's funny to think that we've got these traditional images of motherhood as this sort of very soft, like, pink and blue, like, cute little cherubs thing, when, honestly, like, I don't think there's anyone in the world who feels more closely tied to, like, death and vulnerability and, like, an understanding of the things that can go wrong in the many ways that they can than a mother.
Right, the comprehension of the humanity of what it took to make and raise a human being, and then you hear about, like, oh, you know, 25 people died, and it just, like, it hits you that, like, as a mother, you can't see people as not, like, children anymore, like, that they were once children. And for me, the comics world was this kind of hostile place for me for a period of time early on in my parenthood, because Tom Hart's Rosalie Lightning had come out, like, right...
Crushing.
Right when I became a parent, and this is a story about his daughter's two-year-old daughter's death from SIDS, and as if you don't have, like, enough SIDS anxiety, and Lila Corman has also, his partner, has written about their daughter before, and so the comics that were being made about parenthood when I became a parent were all, like, mourning and tragic and like, preying on every parent's worst nightmare, and so I was just like, maybe I'll read prose for a little bit. Like, I'm gonna just take a step back here. It really does change the way that you take in media in that way.
I'd just like to say that I appreciate having stories like yours out there. For me, when I was pregnant with mine, I found the neat thing was that I would find communities where, you know, someone would post a question, I have this problem, and you might not necessarily solve the problem, but you have people saying, yes, I have that problem too. And that was a relief.
Right. In itself. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah. Okay, this is abnormal, but normal. I'm not the only one. So, I guess I'm going to have one more question, then we can go to questions from the audience. My next question is, how did your caregivers influence your care or your work? And I, if this is a touchy subject, we can avoid it.
Well, I write about my caregiver in my book because my mom, I'm Chinese Canadian, and in Chinese culture, you don't go out for a month after having a baby, and so you stay at home and your mother comes often to live with you. Mine lives the next neighborhood over, so she didn't. But and she cooks for you, and she cleans for you, and she helps you take care of the baby. And really, the purpose of that is to give you the time to heal from labor and delivery, and to acknowledge that it's a real trauma in a way to go through that. And so I will be forever grateful for that, the fact that my mom did that for me, for all three of my children. However, it was also very isolating because I couldn't go out, and she expected me not to even set foot outside of the house. There was one time she had left for the day, and I thought, oh, it's a nice sunny day, I might go for a walk, and so I started putting on my coat, and then I saw her coming back up the walk because she had left something at my house, and I just ran to the couch and sat there. I'm not going anywhere. And maybe that isolation added to my depression. But with my subsequent babies, we just had more people come to our house and not have me go out as much. But it's a balance. But again, to be taken care of in that way for a month, a full 30 days after giving birth, was a real gift.
Bring new parents food.
Yeah.
Food.
And do the dishes.
Clean the house, okay? Don't bring frilly things. Bring diapers and food.
Yeah, right. Why isn't everyone writing this down?
I'm staring.
My father was a sailor, and my mother was fairly young when she had me, and then had three of us while my father was at sea, sometimes even half the year. As a parent myself now with a supportive and present husband, what the hell, Mom? Oh my gosh! I can remember the times when she was pregnant with my siblings, and I can remember her postpartum depression. And I think that has affected me in that I try and be very aware of how my moods and state affect my child. Because I do remember quite a long stretch of times where, you'd get home and it would be raining and all the lights are off and you just kind of look around and you're like, okay, we're probably having eggs for supper again. Which is, she can't help that, but I have that sort of sad memory from that time. I don't know where I'm going with this now, just try to remember how hard that must have been, but not to police my emotions, but to try not to let them bleed out into everything in ways that might be inadvertently damaging to a little person. Don't listen to this, Mom.
My mother apparently had an incredibly easy pregnancy and birth, and then no stress or trouble at all. And I know this is not true. I know that this could not possibly be true, but she's like, oh yeah, you took 2 3-hour naps every day from birth, and she's like, I never let having a baby stop me from doing anything that I wanted. I would just take you with me when I went to all of these different things, and I'd travel across the country, and blah, blah, blah. And so my whole, from when I got my period, she was like, you should have a baby, it's so fun. It's so fun and great. It's awesome and so fun. And I'm like, well, Mom, what about, work and, money? And she'd be like, no, I never let any of that stop me. And I had a great time. It was awesome. I just took you with me. So perception of what parenthood would be like was like, oh, easy, super easy. And fortunately, my partner is a pragmatist, and he was like, it's not going to be easy, and like a lot of stuff is going to go wrong. And I was like, la, 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 la. It's going to be fine. So that when I was like ready to start getting pregnant, I was like, this is going to be a breeze, just like my mom, and like I'm going to go right back to work, and it's not going to be a problem, and da-da-da-da. And that was not the case. And like, I couldn't work during my pregnancy. I was so miserable. And I would call my mom, and I'd be like, what? Like, what is this? This is not what you told me this was going to be like. And she'd be like, oh, yeah, I vaguely remember that, like, I threw up a couple times. And I'd be like, first of all, you never mentioned that when you were telling me about this. And secondly, a couple times. Like, I have a couple times in the last hour thrown up. So it was weird because we just had these like totally divergent experiences, and she couldn't sympathize with this stuff. She'd just be like, she was so excited to be a grandmother. She'd just be like, push through it. It's fine, you big wuss. I'd be like, so then I almost died, and she was like, this is very traumatic for me. And I was like, I'm so, so sorry. deeply apologetic. And then she was so happy that, that I had a baby, and she was like, finally had achieved her great dream of being a grandmother. And I was like, and she stayed with me for a month and took care of me, and it was lovely. But she was also just sort of like, I didn't expect this. And I was like, me neither. It's very difficult. You led me to believe that this would be no problem at all. And then, like, you know, every aspect after that, it was like, I was going to go back to work and, like, work. And, I, you know, I was like, I'm feeling very guilty for leaving my kid and, like, going to work and stuff like that. And she's like, oh, I just took you. And I was like, you didn't work, though. You just, like, did stuff and took me with you. So it's very different. We have different experiences. And like when my kids started school, my mom was like, he's too young. He's got to stay with you longer. And I was like, I think he's ready. So it was just this like moment where I realized like, oh, I'm a different mom. I have different experiences than my mom. And I like for so long, I wanted to just do as my mom did. She was my model for this because I was like, I can do it all and it'll be easy. And it's like, no. A lot of it is hard for me, and that's fine. I'm just as good a mom, even if it's not as easy for me. And that was like a major light bulb moment for me, that I was like, oh, it's not that I'm like not naturally suited to this. It's, you know, it's my jam. It's good, but it's also really hard. And the fact that my mom doesn't remember it or talk about it doesn't mean that it wasn't hard for her too. So that was a big change for me. And it's still like, my mom is still like, have more kids. And I'm like, you were there. Don't you remember that? Like, no. And then she's like, what about surrogacy? And I'm like, please leave me alone. So, you know, I felt so pressured by her for the longest time to be a parent. But her, what she meant by that was like, have a really easy pregnancy and a really easy birth and a like totally effortless style of parenting. And it's like, I'm actually very happy with my like more intense situation here, but it's, you know, you don't get to tell me what to do anymore because you lied.
Where are y'all getting these moms who come stay for a month? That sounds real good.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the people who took care of me, I mean, I always looked up to my mom and my grandmothers a great deal for a lot of life lessons. But you know, I guess joining them in the motherhood group was interesting because I think for a lot of my growing up period, you know, from where they'd come from, they tried to, you know, raise me as a feminist woman, I guess, and in some ways their interpretation of that was really focusing a lot on succeeding in a male world and, you know, go to school, you gotta get this, and you gotta go and have your career, and you do all of those things. But, you know, all of that, it's hard to figure out how all of that fits in with them having what they had in some ways. So I think for me also, after I had children, it was like a bit of a time to revise and rewrite a lot of the advice that they'd given me, or think about sort of how to figure all that stuff out in life, and also to think about
how maybe they'd sort of devalue their own contributions and their own interpretation of feminism in a way, because it was like, you don't want to be like me, you want to go out and be like something else, you know? So I don't know. I don't know if they would see the work that I've done in any way as honoring them, but I hope that they would, because I think that, you know, it's I want them to see that role, that experience, it's so important, and it shouldn't be any less or lesser than any other contribution, just because it's in a maybe more private sphere of life, less public sphere. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, for me, it was thinking about that and wanting it to be also a version of feminism, I guess, right? But definitely, they were a big inspiration. Yeah.
We're going to be wrapping up soon, but are there any questions from the audience? Go ahead.
I didn't deal well with it at all, and really I needed counseling and medication, and particularly though the counseling, the talk therapy really helped kind of grieve that, helped me grieve my old life, and it, you know, we talked about life and death here, like a part of you is gone, and that's over, and there's a new you who also has to take care of a new little person. And so, I think talking through it, acknowledging it, that this is not just something you can bounce right back from, that you have to find a different way forward.
I became aggressively ambitious. I felt like I had something to prove. I felt like I had to give comics the big old middle finger and just be like, that's right, I can have a baby and do more comics than you. And so, indeed, I wore that child and drew a lot of comics that year. I could probably have spent more time...
resting?
Yeah, resting. I, like, could not walk for a very long time. My baby was born with his fist in his mouth. He took out the whole basement.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, so... I probably could have spent some time enjoying the magic of new motherhood and maybe being a bit more present, but I just became extremely ambitious and produced a lot of work in a very short time, which is not to say that's a good thing. I think it was also my form of nesting was to work too much, and so I think my way of coping with this new maternal identity was to work too much. So... yeah, overcompensated would be my answer for you.
I was also, like, recovering from almost dying. So I was also like, oh, who am I? I'm my body doesn't work anymore. I really, really benefited from other parent friends who, you know, came over and they were like, you still exist. and that really helped me. But also, like, oh boy, talk therapy and medication. I just think it should be standard. I think that you, like, the lactation consultant and then, like, the therapist should come into the hospital room and be like, so, okay, how you doing? It's so important and like, just to have that space to grieve for the losses of becoming a parent and to celebrate the joys and new things of becoming a parent. It's like having that safe space away from your partner who's also sleep deprived and like, you don't want to complain to them. You're just like, okay, here, it's just deal. I'm going to go talk to somebody who will like tell me I'm great. that's so important.
The loneliness is very poisonous.
It is.
Yeah, I all of those things. I've definitely found echoes of all of those things. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's not like out of difficult experiences. You know, no one wants to go through like difficult experiences. But I did find it was almost like another adolescence. You know, like when you're in an adolescence, like you're questioning so many things that you thought were like just given truths, and like you don't know what your body's gonna do next, and like all kinds of things are going on. And I found it like that, and so not really a fun experience. But I suppose in it, I found a lot of new perspectives and inspiration for creative work, as the other panelists also said, because, you know, you just have these fresh eyes on the world in this vulnerable space where, you know, your super ego or whatever has been kind of deconstructed. Yeah. So, you know, I guess, yeah, thankfully things are more stable now, and, like, I don't have to feel all of that, but it definitely was...
It's an intense period.
It's an intense period, and out of it you can, you know, write a book, or you can use some of those new perspectives. I think I found at the time I didn't have any time or energy to do anything about all these thoughts that I had, but, you know, I recorded it, I wrote it out at the time, and then later on when I had the time, I could use that for something good, you know?
I really wish my mom had told me the difficult parts, because she really whitewashed it. And when it came time for me to go through it myself, I felt like I part of my perception was closed off, because I just saw her. And I think it is a difficult process, and having a role model that admits that it's a difficult process is really beneficial. It would have benefited me. And every time my mom, like, remembers something that was tough, where she's like, oh yeah, that was hard, it's so like validating to me. I'm like, oh god, thank you. So I, you know, I think as long as you're aware of it, you care about that, I think that would be really helpful to your children.
Yeah, and I think and if you're approaching it your work in a way where you're just trying to find the honest truth, and not in anger, but in like just curiosity and investigation and stuff. Like I addressed my book to my daughter, and in it I and she has read it, by the way. And in it I say, like, I'm not telling you all this to make you feel guilty. What I'm trying to do is show you that I know what it feels like to go through these things if you ever do, and if you need me, you know, to understand, then I really do.
I thought quite a bit about that, actually, and I think as a teenager, you know, just about anything your parents do that would make them stand out is pretty cringeworthy. So I expect this would be one of those things that I've done that could be cringeworthy. But I also think that it's not really... I can't really get into the position where, you know, I have had children and now my entire life has to be subsumed to them and to that purpose alone. I mean, I've seen social media posts and other people who are mothers debate these kinds of things, and I think a lot of people do feel like they have to censor themselves. On many fronts, actually, because their role and identity as mother is the number one, and nothing is going to ever come beyond that or above that. But at least for myself, I definitely feel like I can be a good mother and still be a writer and still, have spheres in which that... I can be a good mother and do other things, and my children will admire me for that at some point. When they want to know me as a human, you know, which doesn't happen for quite a long time, you know? But I think eventually it does happen, because now I do want to know my parents as humans now. Took a long time, but... So I see it as a gift for the future, you know, not for right now. And I hope they'll understand that. Yeah.
I'm going to take a risk and take one last question.
Each other?
Yes.
Well, yes. Put them all in a ring together?
Yeah. Come see us in the parking lot.
My kids certainly fight. Usually it's over something, like taking turns to use, or, you know, we have one Nintendo Switch with two controllers and three children, so basically there's fighting always going on in that realm. But I think they deep down love each other and, you know, fight any other child for each other. So
I only have the one child, and I can take him in a fight, so that's fine. But he has a little love-hate thing going at daycare right now, to the point that it's invaded his dreams. He was tossing and turning the other night and beginning to cry. No, no. No, Lacey, eat baby hamburger! So clearly he's got to resolve some stuff.
I also only have one, but I can't take him. He's really strong. He hurts me all the time. It's horrible. You can't fight back. He's got, like, a big heavy head, and he likes to headbutt. And he's, like, he's hit as many times in the head. So he could probably take you all.
Well, you've given me that for when we have our fight.
Yeah.
Now I know.
All right, well, thank you all for your participation, and thank you all for being here.